April the 14th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we start this evening, Amina Bey, we are asking we're asking that you join the family and asking that you support my cousin Tamina Nasari McCleary. We continue to pray for her recovery, and we thank you in advance for your generous donation. Lunchwood.com. Tamina Nasari McCleary, we need assistance for home modification, and accessible. Also, our beloved brother Imam Musa Muslim Aboy is in the hospital. We ask everyone to make a prayer for our beloved brother, and may Allah bless him with a speedy recovery and bless him to come back home to his family and his community. The Quran Surah 71, Ayat 1 to 3, stand and pray. The Quran Surah 74, 1 to 3. O you and mental, arise, warn. The Quran Surah 6, Ayat 69 to 70, duty to remind. The Quran Surah 62, 9, Surah 9 and 10, 9 to 10. When the call is made, leave off business. If we are really Muslims, we have to be an active and not a passive community. We are not a choral of sheep, dreamers, or spacewalkers. The Muslim is called by God to be an active community. As a Muslim, you have to register concerns of those around you. You must be concerned with whether they are being mistreated or suffering the burden of their own ignorance. If they need to be enlightened, you are obligated to enlighten them. You must also ask yourself questions such as, are they without business sense? For what reason? Do they have nothing but a life of dependency? And if they are your Muslim brothers and sisters, and you are business-wise, it is your obligation to enlighten them. We must also be concerned if those around you are giving themselves to wild and injurious kinds of influences in the Western culture. If you are aware of those damaging, injurious influences, and you see them giving themselves to those influences, then you are obligated to help them. The Muslim is obligated to stand up and meet the challenge from those things that will work to take us out of the excellent form and excellent future God intended for his creatures. Muslims are protesters. When we give our declaration of faith, Kalima, as a protester, or we could affirm and just say, God is one God. But no, we first say La in Arabic, which means no. That in itself is a protest. We are not only we not only say that God is one God, but we say no God but God. That carries a message of one who is protesting. Many of us are afraid to get in the moral army to fight the moral excellence in our immediate surroundings. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better education. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better living conditions in our neighborhood. Many of us are afraid to get in the army of protest by the consumer against those who ignore this humanity, treat man as though he is a vile animal, selling him inferior merchandise at high price. When God is our greatest love, and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates, that is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. Many of us fail to get in the army of law-abiding citizens when we see moral violators all around us, such as thieves, shoplifters, and vandals. Many of us live with these things without a burden on our concern. If you can tolerate those things, you are not the Muslim community that God wants. A Muslim community must rise to the challenge and meet the challenge. God has obligated us to go against and resist all that is bad. We are to insist upon what is good, what is excellent, and we are to prohibit what is wrong, bad, and degrading. We cannot claim to be Muslim if we are not willing to wear that principle and bear that responsibility. For God says, if you fail, I will rise up another people, and they will not fail to fear the accusations of the criticism of those who criticize. Many of us cannot accept being unpopular. We say to ourselves, oh, God knows my heart, but if I go all the way with this religion, I'm going to be unpopular with my associates. Well, if that is the way you feel and think, then you are not the one to carry out that great responsibility God has placed upon the Muslim of advancing right and resisting wrong. Those who can carry out that responsibility must first be strong enough not to be dispirited, hurt, checked, or made weak by the fear of being unpopular. We cannot be strong if we worry about being unpopular. When God is our greatest love, and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more so than it is before our associates, that is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. It is a requirement for the Muslim to obey the will of God and to please him of what he has asked of us. That is the real Muslim. That is what it means when we say a Muslim is one yielding the will and yielding the spirit to God. It means that you live most of all to satisfy what God has required of you. You live to meet God's demands and not the expectations of the people or their expectations and are against what God has asked of you. Many of us have fallen short in the living the life of a Muslim as a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Many have fallen short because they just don't know. Therefore, it is an obligation on those who know to bring the message clearly to the people. That obligation was on our Prophet, and he informed us the same obligation or burden is on those who follow him. God says to us in the Quran, O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourself and adorn your Lord and do good that you may prosper and strive in his cause as you ought to strive with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and has imposed no difficulty on you in religion. It was the faith of your father Abraham. It is he who named you Muslim, both before and in this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness for you and you be a witness for mankind. From the above verse, we see that the prophet will be a witness for us before God, and we be a witness before God with the people. If we carry out our responsibility, then when we are before God, we will be a witness and say, God, those people had no excuse for what they did and for the path they took. We lived true to our religion amongst them. God didn't say that the prophet and his followers are witnesses to Muslims only. He said that we are witnesses to the people, meaning all people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. It is also obligation on the Muslims to warn their near relatives. The Holy Quran says, and warn your nearest kinsmen. Then if they disobey you, say, I am free of responsibility for what you do. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Many nations became Muslim not because someone preached to them, but because they observed the life and the good Muslims in their nation and decided that they wanted to be a Muslim. That happened in much of Africa. The Africans saw the life of the Muslims and they were attracted to that life. Certainly, they were preachers, but most of the conversion came by the excellent example of Islamic life that Muslims lived. Out of necessity, the Muslims traded and visited with Africans, and many of them came to introduce the religion. But the religion grew in Africa because of good examples that Muslims showed to all people by living the excellence of Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence on others who observe how we live. Indonesia is a country that has the biggest Muslim population. We're converted in the same way. Indonesia has over 100 million Muslims, and nobody came there and conquered them with weapons. Nobody preached to them the religion with a missionary movement to convert them. Indonesia became Muslim because they dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslim. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslim. For centuries, there has been ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Islam, and we want to correct this incorrect view by our example and lifestyle. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Juma, and Sunday with a khutbah lecture, and then go back and the people not see him anymore until the next Friday. This is especially so if he is not working on a job or if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devoted themselves to ritualistic and spiritual devotion with the same regard as those who were devoted spiritually, as well as working to help build the foundation of the country. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place he says, stand to pray by night, but not all night, half of it or a little less. Truly the rising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the words. True, they are by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duty. We learn from this verse that God is telling the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, not to spend so much time in prayer at night, that he would be too tired to carry out his duty to the community during the day. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have no rest day, not even Friday. God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayer. And when the prayer is over, go our many different ways back to productive work. And then extensively knocks on the conscience. The Muslim community should be a dynamic community rising up to every challenge. Our call to prayer, the adhan, essentially means that which knocks on the conscience. It is designed or formed to get our awareness, to get our attention. We give the call 5 times daily to make the Muslims aware of their concern. And our most important concern is to be worshipers of God, to respond to him as he ordered us. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 1-6. Stand and pray in night, best frame words. One, O thou falling in garment. Two, stand to pray by night, but not all night. Three, half of it or a little less. Four, or a little more, and recite the Quran in slow, measured, rhythmic tone. Five, soon shall we send down to thee a waiting message. Six, truly the rising by night is most potent for governing the soul and most suitable for framing the words. Our prayers and praise. Seven, true there is for thee by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duty. For Allah has brought back the truth through Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And that truth is this, that it is night that feeds man's human nature, gives him that peace, that quintessence necessary, quietness necessary for him to see realities of his life better. There are some animals that can see in the dark, some can see in the light, some can see in both the light and the darkness. The human being can see in both the night and in the day. He can see in the day with his physical eye, but we see best in the night with our mind. When it is dark, we can think better. We can listen to the voice of the heart, the conscience, and hear it better. We can find the hidden answers that the daylight won't uncover. But in the night, we can find the hidden answers. In fact, even in the day, sometimes when we are thinking deep, we close our eyes. We like to turn the light off because it is better. It helps us to think a little better. God has said it. You will find the night conducive, very good for framing the night the right words. And isn't that the struggle of intelligence? Not to just come up with an idea, but to frame it in the right words so that message can be passed on to others, so they understand it. Many times we get an idea, but we can't pass it on to others because it is not in the right words. We can't make it plain. Music raises thinking ability. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 4, Quran recite slowly, rhythmic tone. Now, on your job working conditions, situations, they found that workers that need the best maximum benefit from the environment to do their work, they are thinking on what is conducive to their requirement. They found that by making the place pleasant, it appears and everything, the environment surrounding to the senses, the eyes, and by having music low, not high, but very melodious music, they found that it raises the intelligence and the thinking ability of their workers. This was recently reported, although they have been doing similar studies. So if they know that this way, do we come, they give the masses of all of this sad stuff to shatter their brain. They don't love you. They care nothing for you. So we have to care something about ourselves. And if we go on and follow that stuff after knowing better, we deserve whatever comes to us. We deserve what they are giving us. Quran's slow recital brings out the intuitive life. Just one other thing I want to say to bring you to what we really should be looking at, and that is the Quran that advanced over that, that's supposed to be some new sciences they discovered, and in the Quran, 1,400 years old, you are to read it and slow rhythmically so you can get the intelligence and the meaning from it. You speed it up and you won't get it. And at the same time, while having time to think about it and digest it, the slow music recital of the Quran is bringing out the intuitive life, bringing it to the surface. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 5 to 6, weighty words sent down. What did Allah promise to Muhammad while he was revealing to him? He said, I am going to teach you. God told him that. Some will say, yes, he was teaching him when he was giving him the Quran. Yes. But that's not all of it. No. He told Prophet Muhammad that he was going to send upon him a weighty word. And Allah said to Muhammad that he found him drooping. Drooping meaning strained, underweight. A lot of weight on him. Didn't he? Didn't be. So when he received the first sign of revelation to his wife, burden and strain. And she told him of an uncle who was a Christian and had knowledge of scripture. He had no knowledge of scripture. He was unlettered, so he had no knowledge of scripture. She told him of that uncle. That uncle talked to her, and she talked to him. And didn't his burden begin to be a little lighter? So though he had already begun receiving revelation, it burdened him. Why? Because it is heavy and hard to understand for a man that's not educated. But God says he will educate him, and God educated him. You have a living proof in me. The Quran, Surah 74, Ayah 1 to 3, O you in Matthew, arise, warn. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 39, work in your places. The Holy Quran guided us to command sense. It is a common sense message, although it contains very complex ideas. In the very beginning of the revelation to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, he was told by God, O you who are wrapped in your mental clock, stand up and warn the people. God is going to give you a weighty word. Although the Quran appealed and directed us to common sense, it still has all that it needed to satisfy the intellectual. But what am I trying to do in this article is to try and make what Muslims should be doing here in the United States very simple and clear. God makes it very clear and simple in the Quran as to what Muslims should be doing when he says, work in your places. I am a worker. God is telling us in the above verse that he is not an idle God or a God at rest. Accordingly, Muslims don't believe in a specific universe, a static universe or a God that is resting. I'm not trying to address any differences in anyone's religion. I just want to bring that message to you in hopes that Muslims and others will appreciate what is being said to them by God, that he does not rest and that he never took a rest. The Holy Quran gives us an excellent description that is simple and clear of how God relates to his creation. It says, God, there is no God but he, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal. No slumber can seize him, nor sleep. He is the all things in the heavens and on earth. Who is there can intercede in his presence except as he permitted? This verse tells us that God is active every moment of the day. There is not a single second during which he is not active in a wonderful work. Muslims have to believe that. If we believe that God took a rest, it will make us want to take a rest. And if all of us take the rest, we will be without anything. Muslims must also understand that though we have heard of Al-Islam in the West, for the most part, has been incorrectly presented. We need the true report on this religion, how it was revealed, the Prophet Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon it, what it did to end the Dark Ages, how it brought the Arabs, who were steeped in ignorance and corruption, to peak of civilization where they became the beacon light of intellectual liability for the human being. Al-Islam made possible the regeneration of scientific interests and scientific progress for the whole world. This is a fact of history. And if you don't believe what I'm stating, all you have to do is study the medieval age and the influence of Al-Islam upon the period. Then Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, began his mission. Most of the people were ignorant. In fact, it is referred to as the age of the ignorant in Arabia, addressing the need to man to make the people literate. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, instituted a public program for educating all of the people. Most of them could not read, so he taught them to read the Quran. Education and obligation on every male and female study from the cradle to the grave. Though the majority of Muslims born in America are literate in English, they are illiterate when it comes to the Arabic language. Therefore, if they are to get the great benefit of our holy book, they must study the Arabic language, and you should not think that you are ever too old to study the Arabic language. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said that we are to gain knowledge. To become educated is an obligation on every male and female born in the Muslim society. Furthermore, he said that the obligation to acquire knowledge is on the individual from the cradle to the grave. No matter how old you are, if you accept what he has given us, you feel an obligation to increase your knowledge. If you are not in school, you should return to school in some way or other. You should always remain a student. You should die a student. That should be the commitment of every Muslim. The only way Muslims can be strong in Islamic knowledge is to turn to the pure Islamic sources, such as the Quran, the Hadith literature, traditional to the Sunnah practices, and history of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Muslims must study the wisdom of the learned companions of the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, and wisdom of those learned imams which survived the early days of the Muslims and whose knowledge was passed on to us. You must study and learn that knowledge. And as you do, you will become strong in knowledge. There was a great man who once lived amongst the African-American race who said, "You will never become the equal of the white man until you strive to become equal to him in knowledge." I believe he left that African-American with a precious wisdom in that statement. However, to gain knowledge will not be enough. In fact, all that is within the human possibility is not enough unless we also exercise that which is within our moral possibility. It is a moral urge and the moral commitment in man that will preserve his life and progress. We can learn all of the wisdom of the Quran, the wisdom in the textbooks of a college or a university, but if we lose the content of our moral life, we cannot go forward. The proof of how moral deficiency affects us in the whole of our life is by what we now see taking place in America today. Race stopped addressing race, started addressing men, and Islamic religions was revealed for all people. As Muslims, we have to appeal to our audience from a position other than that of racial concern. Racial concerns are too small and narrow. We must stop addressing race and start addressing man. We have to stop designing our material to appeal to just black. That is the indigenous African American. We have to design our educational material, our books, our propagation, dawah material, to appeal to the individual man, or the universal man, pardon me. This religion was revealed for all people, and that is the spirit we must come into. We should not hesitate to carry the message of El-Islam to a Englishman, a Hispanic, an American Indian, a Chinese, or to anyone, whether his race, don't hesitate. Whatever his race, don't hesitate to carry it to him, because in this spiritual situation, the new existence in America, the lost, misplaced values and confused concerns, everybody should be given an opportunity to hear and accept this religion. This is what we must believe. If you believe this in your heart, you will grow to be strong, a strong people. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 32 and 31. Cleanliness, clothes, clean, time, place of prayer. The Quran, Surah 74, Ayat 1 to 4, O you wrapped up in a mantle, arise and warm. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 16, Prophet lived a lifetime amongst you. The Quran, Surah 68, Ayat 4, Prophet is on the exalted character. El Hadith, page 1, 663 and 1, cleanliness is half religion. El Hadith, page 674, 28, cleanliness is half religion. Keep the environment, neighborhood clean. The Prophet prayers and the peace be upon him was told by God in the Quran, and make your personal environment clean. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him in the Quran, knowing that life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. That was 40 years before he received any communication from God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of him, for the whole period of 40 years, surely we have seen you on a mighty foundation of character. He was already an excellent human being. and the model of human life that the Creator wanted or intended for us. God did not have to tell Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, become a clean man. He told him to keep his environment clean. He kept his environment clean, believe me. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says your private or personal environment clean? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him to us. And that will help us understand many things that God says to him is not because Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, needed it. He is speaking through Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to the general masses of people on this planet Earth, and especially those of his following, the Muslim who follow him. Think about this. God says your environment, your immediate place where you have to live and take care of yourself, your family, keep it clean. Cleanliness is faith in your creation as God made, or God made it. So you have heard the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is an expression of faith. When you want to keep yourself clean, you don't like filth on you, that is an expression of faith. Faith in your creation as God made it. Faith in your creation in the best conditions as God created it is an expression of faith, cleanliness. Mukhlasina carried the logic to its conclusion. Devotees' religion is for God. So Muslims are supposed to see the logic and then take it to its logical conclusion. Speaks of the mukhlas, referring to one person, mukhlasina lahudin. It is the plural form of the word, referring to all of us. It means we are the ones who take the logic to its conclusion, and for God is religion. Why does it say for God is religion? Most of the people who take responsibility for giving to the people what God revealed to be their religion, they make their religion their business, supporting them. Even the world has done this. The world has taken religion to be something that just supports whatever it wants. If it's politics, then it's politics. If it is money, it is money. If it is show-off life, it is show-off life. Most of the people in religion, I'm not presenting and representing the life that God, the Creator, wants for us on this planet Earth. Most of the Muslims too. I said most of the people. Most of the Muslims are not presenting and representing what the Creator, the real God, wants for human beings on this planet Earth. Their religion is a party time thing. Dress up and go out and feel good, flatter God with a whole lot of stuff, and go right back to your nasty life or to your cheating life. Cheating on your wife, cheating on your family, cheating on your children because they obligate you. They have a right. Cheating on the neighborhood, society, cheating on the world. Cleanliness is the beginning of life. A neglected baby becomes a filthy man. Cleanliness is the beginning of life. It is in the nature of all new babies or new human life to dislike filth. The baby just came. The filth did not make any blisters. It did not hurt the skin at all. But the baby, the infant, is crying, letting mama know, I have filth on me. And if she ignores that baby, it will become a condition to live with filth on it, and we will have a filthy black man in the neighborhood. I'm talking to you mothers. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, where there are no decent women, there can be no decent men. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 1, Nafs and Wa'amahat, self-accusing spirit. The intellectual being who has formed as a thinking person responding to intelligence rather than to emotions. Self-accusing, you can look at yourself and judge yourself. The Quran Surah 75, Ayah 2, self-accusing soul. The second stage where reason prevails is characterized in the inquiry to question those things and to try to find deeper and more meaning that will satisfy our understanding and help find a better state of mind and a better life. The path for life is a path for discovery towards discovery. God has created us, our intellect, and to discover things like that little child. It will just make something fall just to see what is this, why it fell. I believe this stage is referred to with the expression self-accusing soul. There is an expression in the development of the human soul called self-accusing soul. For those who speak Arabic, nets, lewama, and the first impetuous one, nets la'amaraha. Self-accusing soul. The Quran Surah 75, Ayah 2, Nafs in Lawana. There's another one, second description given of these three, that is, person is occupied with himself. You become occupied with your own self, with the human makeup, the human person. And it's called Nafs Lawana. And the word la means that this person is critical. People tend to be critical, and if you're not critical, then you tend to look for the problem. I use critical in the negative way or the negative sense. So you tend to look for positive things, for the good, for something to praise. So these two go together, something to praise. So because the critical person doesn't necessarily have to be looking for fault or necessarily be a fault finder. The critical person could be critical of something that unsuitable for human excellence, you see, romance period. But just the tendency to be tied up with this looking at the human person, admiring or holding the human being up in high merit and putting the human down. Tendency can lead to many things, to hard-heartedness, coldness, where you don't value human persons as a human creation at all. And then it can go to the other extreme, where you are just immoral by what you see in human beings. You fall in love. That was the romance period for Rome and the old world. That was the romantic period where the artists were just all in love with the body of the human person. And that whole period, the romance period, is to show you that this tendency really rose to be a mark on history itself. Man's interest in himself, or the human person's interest in himself as a great human creation in the romance period, was accompanied by those two, one putting the human being down, others putting him up. So contend with you. The Quran Surah 75, Ayah 2, soul that reproaches itself. So that nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the life for us, a life of struggle. There is something always contending with you, especially if you want to be right. There is something always contending with you, even your own nature, your own soul, the tendency in yourself. Nefsin lawamaha, the critical person, and nefsin muttamana, the person who is peaceful. the Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 2, self-accusing soul. One person corrected me saying, Brother Imam, they were not formed in the stomach of their mother. He's being technical. Whatever you are talking about, where it is, in the leg, chest, or head, where is it? In the stomach. I guess he thought I meant formed in there where my bean soup goes. We know better than that. He has a special compartment. When we know we see a big stomach, sometimes we have to cut the stomach open to save the baby because the mother can't deliver it. So they have to give her an incision and take the baby out from the stomach. But when you look at the fine fault in it easy, the people are described in scripture in many descriptions, but mainly those who look to find fault and those who look to find merit in people. Isn't that something? Scripture says seven eyes went out to find fault in people and seven went out to find merit. So this is the Bible. But in the Quran, it is Nafsin Lawwamah, the critical person, Nafsin Mutmainnah, the person who is peaceful and compassionate, like Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was. They say that to do not know anywhere in the history where he got angry with anybody. He never railed on anybody. He never was harsh. The man is deserving of the position God gave him as a model for all people who believe in God in the last day. Bones are symbolic of universal principles. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 3, does man think that we cannot assemble his bones? The Quran, Surah 36, Ayah 78, who can give life to dry bones? Ezekiel 3:10, prophecy upon those bones. Now, I'm talking to you. Flesh cannot enter the kingdom, but according to Prophet Ezekiel, the bones got together, and the bones stood out of the valley of death. Flesh comes brown, red, black, and yellow. Bones all come white. All of us have the same admission ticket. You have to have the original principles of truth, righteousness, and justice that God gave you from your very beginning. God inspired in man through his conscience a movement up the ladder of strong moral principles, virtues, justice, and righteousness. Unless you have that construction, unless you have the construction of those bones of principles to hold up your flesh, you cannot enter the kingdom. And those universal principles of justice, of virtuous, or moral excellence, of human excellence, they are the same all over the world. If you stand a black man's truth up, it looks just like a white man's truth. Truth indeed. Those are the bones that I must uphold. For the life of the hereafter, the Quran, Surah 17, Ayah 51. O created matter, which is your mind, is hardest to be raised up, yet shall you be raised up. Then will they say, who will cause us to return, say he who created you first? Then will they wag their heads towards thee and say, when will that be? Say, maybe it will be quite soon. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Book? The Quran. It is indeed true that when you have died and become dust in the grave, that this God is going to raise you up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his Holy Book, tell them, even though you be less than bones, though you be less than dust, still you are going to be raised up. It says, tell them it is not just a promise that this is more than a promise, that this is a necessity. That is what Allah says in the Quran. That is more than a promise from God. It is a necessity so that justice will prevail. Resurrection must restore humanism. It is a necessity that the knowledge that God originally designed in human nature for man to grow up with must be restored to him, that he must be given back those human principles that will uphold his flesh, that will make his environment safe from racism, from color consciousness. He must return to human principles, principles dictated from the very substance, from the very design of his true human nature. Every man is black, meaning natural. Oh, and who is this natural man that God made from the very beginning, whose conscience tells him the right steps to make in life? That is the original black man. Why do we call him black? When you say that all men are accepted before God, all men are black when they are in their original nature. What is this strange terminology that you are using today, W.D. Muhammad? It is the true understanding in your Bible. It is the true understanding in the Holy Quran. That is what I am talking about. This is not my language. This is the language revealed to the prophets by God. And I am telling you that Almighty God says in the Bible and in the Holy Quran that every man, every woman is true and black if they are in their original nature. Black means follow human moral nature. What does it mean to be black? Black means to trust the life that God put in you from the beginning. To trust my human nature, that is being black. To trust the voice of my moral nature that tells me not to lie, tells me not to mistreat people. To trust the voice in my nature, in my natural life. It tells me not to shortchange brothers because they are not of my flesh. To do right by everybody. I don't need a gospel to tell me that. I don't need a Torah to tell me that. I don't need even a Holy Quran to tell me that. Before Torah, before the gospel, and before the Holy Quran. I was told that through my human nature. The human nature is what taught me to follow the right road, to follow the road of truth and justice and turn away from the road of lies and injustice. The human being tells him that. Resurrection of the dead on good. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 3-4, resurrect the dead. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 46, resurrection seemed like night or day. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 23, family members joined in the hereafter. Bukhari, page 9, 532b, believers intercede, people out of hell. So this soul, this is what lives. This will be resurrected. And whatever of your life that conformed to this, that was a good complement to this, that will be you in the resurrection. I used to wonder about the resurrection of the dead. I know that the dead are resurrected. I know that it's essential. Life we don't believe anymore only. I know that there is a resurrection of the dead. And there is an eternal life. The language is addressing this world that we live in now, even in its symbolism and mystery about heaven and about the drink in heaven. They will drink of a water like camphor, and they will drink of the water of Sassabah. All these names have reference to this life. Everything has reference to this life here on earth that we live right now. But the prophet prayers and the peace upon him didn't tell us disbelief in the hereafter. He said that who whatever is in the print, in the Quran, also his own teaching, his own words, have a direct reference and an implied one. So if we get one, there is still another. So if I have connected the language of Quran or the language of the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him with my life presently, I must understand that there is another connection, and that other connection is the life eternal. Soul lives forever, body dies. The soul lives forever. We may die, but the original soul lives forever. But if we dress our life up to conform to the original soul, we will be resurrected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they think that they can't be reproduced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he will reproduce your fingerprint with the design there just like it is. I'm a believer. I don't question it. And if I do not understand it, I do not bother. It, I wait until I can understand it. And not only that, your relatives, the sister asked about the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sister, that your relatives too, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed to have a new world life. Let me tell you what it will be. God has blessed me to know it's not going to be in this world as you see it now. One day this universe is going to go away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reproduce this whole universe. The sun will be gone. The moon will be gone. Now you may say, oh, that's trillions and trillions and billions of light years away. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for the soul that dies when they wake up in this new world, they will say it looks like it only was one night or a day because you don't have any time when you die. Time is gone. So you will be awakened and you will think you just went to sleep and woke up and it will be a new creation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all of this that you are looking at is perishable, he revealed to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that all of that we are looking at is passing away. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, everything is passing away. Science hadn't yet discovered it. But now science says the sun is dying. It says that the whole universe is going to go away and the energy is going to collapse upon itself and the forces of it is going to make it spring out again into a frame and into energy and create a new universe. That is their theory now. But where did they get the inspiration from? You think they were acknowledging to you and say, yes, we were reading the Quran, and we thought about it. So this is a good theory. Or we read the Bible, and we thought about it. So this is a good theory. They won't acknowledge that. They keep the two separate. They won't acknowledge that. And that's why their world stay messed up. If they ever would come straight, we will see a much more beautiful world than we see now, if they come straight with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be resurrected, and your family members who have passed away, they will be resurrected. And if you love your family members enough, just your love for them will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them for a lot of their wrongs and join them back with you. And the time will be like, only like, one night passed. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 7 to 9, sun and the moon together. At length, when the sight is dazed, and the moon is buried in darkness, and the sun and the moon are joined together. Masjid Masiba, page 2, 1051. Intellect, no better gift. Now read it, Abu Huraira, the prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, said, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the intelligence, he told it to stand up, and it did so. Then he told it to turn back, and it did so. Then he told it to turn its face, and it did so. Then he told it to set, and it did so. He then said, I have created nothing better or more excellent or finer than you. By you I shall receive, by you I shall give, and by you I shall know, and by you I shall reprove, and by you reward will be gained, and by opposing you punishment will be received. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. We will continue this next next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means that it please God. We are asking you, during this holy month of Ramadan, to pray for all the ones that have passed away. And we ask that you pray for all the sick that's in the hospital and the elderly. This is a time that all the prayers is going out. So we thank you, and may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. And we thank New Africa, Excellent Murad Speak, for allowing us to come before you once again. You never forget the violin. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used whoever pays the fiddler calls the tune. So we thank our brother for continuing with this great work that he began with. And we will, may God guide us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.